Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Okay, talk to me then, because you sound sick, and this is not a cold, but we're not here to talk about your cold.
No. What is perfect is that I didn't develop my cold until you were in the surgery center. Oh, yeah.
There's the beep. So
I'm sorry for people listening. We are having technical difficulties at Casa Digman. We have a refrigerator that will not stop beeping, and no one can come to fix it for
another 4 days. So that means like a whole week of this. But
those are small details.
I mean, truly what's happening for anybody who. Because, I mean, we didn't even have a chance to talk about this because I think our last recording happened long before this went down. But I'm recovering from hernia surgery. So that's, I mean, we're only like a week and a half. Was it a week and a half?
11 days today.
But who's counting?
I'm counting.
I mean, just for everyone, what happened is I had some pain in my stomach around Christmas time.
Yes.
It's like just in between, you know, that week before Christmas and New Year's. And, but I thought it was just for all the food we were eating, you know, holiday food, and you're eating way more than you should. But then New Year's Day night, probably about 11 o'clock, I noticed some like swelling, bulging in my lower abdomen. And having been through a hernia once in my life back in, 1997, I kind of looked, I honestly think that looks like a hernia. And then of course, then what we do in 2025, then 2026, you go to Dr. Google to say, what's this? And then all of a sudden, I mean, you start freaking yourself out because it's like, could this be worse? The hernia, because I've had it for a week and you don't want to. So I'm New Year's Day night in the ER. And so then, long story short, then they found it was a hernia, went to a specialist surgeon, confirmed hernia. And on January 22nd, I had hernia surgery. And that just put our world upside down, because when you have a relationship with a caregiver and a caregivee, yes, we are each other's caregivers. But when you have the one caregiver, i.e. me, responsible for the lifting and the transferring for the other one, i.e.
me,
That opens the door to a lot of
uncertainty.
Yes. And
yes.
So we've been dealing with that, because then when you have said surgery, I'm not allowed to lift anything over 20 pounds for 6 weeks.
And I'm a little bit more than 20 pounds. So we've been in quite a pickle for the last 11 days. Well, I would say not a pickle, but...
Not a pickle, but I mean, these are just uncharted territories for A Couple Takes on MS, i.e. you and me.
Yes.
That I don't think you realize, A, how much I do for you, but B, how much Jen, caregiver Jen, does for us.
And she's a beast, and you're a beast.
And as are you.
Well, thank you. I just sit in a wheelchair and get transferred, so I'm not that much of a beast. But anywho, you've had your surgery.
Yes.
And there was a lot of, when you say it's fair, there was a little nervousness, a little stress in front of the surgery that we were concerned. And just to be honest, Dan has always talked about his first hernia surgery. in his and my 20 years of marriage, just not lovingly, you know, not like it was a good time. I heard about the vomiting.
Because this predated us, yes.
Yes, and I heard about the vomiting and just how uncomfortable you were. And just, you didn't remember it at all fondly. And so I think you were really, not nervous, but you were really hesitant, not wanting to do this.
It was, and I know that, because the only thing I truly remembered of the first time of the surgery was that they had given me Vicodin as the pain medication, and said Vicodin made me sick. And so when you have healing in your abdomen and you're throwing up, puts a lot of pressure on the area and stuff. And so that was the nice thing. And bless you for being there with me in the surgery room before, you know, the pre-op, if you will.
This time, not, yeah. I wasn't no, you, there in 1997. I didn't even know who you were in 97.
No. But this time that you were there, and I had told you I do not want, because I know that it was the Vicodin that made me sick. And I know that the doctor, the surgeon this time, was going to give me like Narcan, something or other, but something equivalent to the Vicodin, and said, I can't have this. Is there anything else? And so he just gave me really, really, really strong ibuprofen, which is a beautiful thing. And it's helped tremendously. And never once this time around did I feel sick or anything. And I mean, the recovery and the pain was pretty manageable. I mean, truly, just I was off work for like 4 days, and well, 5 days, including 2 days of the weekend. And I've been back to work ever since. But I think that the biggest thing for me was like, I know that the pain was something I could manage eventually, but it was like, how were we going to take care of you? And caregivers, because obviously you don't have 24/7 caregivers. I mean, you have me, but when me can't operate any of the machinery because I couldn't push or pull you.
No, and you still can't. I mean, we're only 11 days into this. And Dan, you're on a 6-week hiatus of healing. Yes. And that is something that I can't, and I'm bad about this, where I think, once 6 weeks over, Dan's going to be, boom, he's going to be able to get back into transferring me. And, you know, bless your heart, you've always said that it wasn't necessarily transferring me that gave you that.
Were you going to call it a hyena? Like excuse Q16 me. Hang 16 candles with Grandpa's hyena.
Yes, tell me you're a child from the 80s. But, you know, it's just a reality that once this recovery period is over, you're not going to go right back into transferring me. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, caregiver Jen has been able to adjust her schedule. And we've got two or three other caregivers. We've tried out maybe 5. And I think 3 might stick with me. I'm a lot to deal with. And, you know, Jen can use this to stand. It's hell on my arms, my upper arms. But if it gets me to the toilet, and that's good. And then I use the Hoyer lift to get into bed at night, and I have to sleep. And then Jen uses the Hoyer lift to get me up in the morning. So our schedule is different, and that has to be something for you, just to not do any of what you normally do.
It's been challenging. I mean, because obviously, you know, yeah, Jen can't cover. You know, you were thankfully able to get a couple extra hours each week for the you know, transitions, transfers, and things. But the downside of it is, we are, you know, we often say that we live like we're 12 years old, you know, to where we're like, you know, with no parents, but it's like all of a sudden now we have parents, because Jen's evening time to get you into bed is, you know, 9 to 10:30. So that means we are in bed by 10:30 every day, and that she doesn't come back until 9 o'clock in the morning. So that's a really long time to be in bed.
Yes, but fortunately, we were able to buy a pressure relief mattress pad cover.
For your side, yeah.
For my side, and that helps, and it keeps the pressure off, because the last thing you want to do is have your husband go in for surgery for 6 weeks and not be able to transfer you, and then as soon as he can transfer you again, you have a big old pressure sore from said 6 weeks of surgery recovery. So we did that, and Jen is transferring me into bed with the Hoyer lift, like I mentioned, and we have, instead of her normal schedule, we're splitting up the day. Fortunately, the Medicaid waiver program has been very accommodating and helpful, so that I don't have to go into some sort of facility while you recover.
Right.
But it's still been challenging, and this is your surgery. This isn't, you know, it's not supposed to be about me. We're trying to get you back to tip-top shape.
Right. Well, and I think that that's where it becomes a challenge, is just that I don't feel bad. I mean, I have a little discomfort, if you will, but it's just the problem for me then is not stepping in to help when you're with new caregivers to try and teach them the methods and try and help out, because, you know, I don't want to overdo it. I have a follow-up with my surgeon in a couple of days just to see what happened or how I'm doing. And for anybody, anybody out there in listener land, we will have links in the show notes here. Jennifer's written a couple really engaging, thought-filled, honest essays on our blog, a couple takes on MS.com about the surgery and just what that's doing to us in the back end of things. And, I think that my recovery is fine, but it's just, I'm getting better with each day, but your, you know, caregiving, I think that's getting better with each day, but it's just that managing where, because when you're used to a life of on the go, just so, you know, and I can't drive.
No, you haven't driven in these 11 days. You're going to drive in a few days, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Well, and we haven't been to church, for 2 days or two weeks. Mm-hmm. Just because the other thing, too, is I can't really wear pants. I mean, I'm wearing sweatpants and pajama pants and things.
Yeah.
And, you know, got to understand I show up in pajama pants.
And it's very interesting. I myself didn't really have experience with hernias. I didn't know about it. Fortunately, no one in my family, my immediate family, had ever dealt with it. And then I married you, and then we started, you know, then I learned more. And as we've gone to church and as we've just been out in the community and met more people, a number of people have had hernias before. So it is a survivable.
Oh, yeah.
It is recoverable. It's just, for me, I was like, wow, what's Dan going to do? I was so nervous, to be honest. You know, I was like, oh, is he going to be able to, is he going to have to be used in a wheelchair when he gets done with surgery? I had no idea what to expect. And you just toddled out after surgery and you got into the van and you're like, okay, let's go. And I mean, it's been amazing, your recovery. And I don't want to not say that it hasn't been difficult. And you is the expression gingerly get into into bed, or when you move, get up from a chair. You can see you're a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be careful. I think that it's because, yeah, it's just I didn't remember that much other than the throwing up with Vicodin from the first hernia surgery. But, yeah, we had everything ready to go. I mean, your other wheelchair was fully charged just in case I was going to need it. You know, but we I think it was just being prepared. And so I think anytime people go in for surgery, it's just doing the legwork and being prepared. But I did not think that, I don't know, it's just like we go through life and we do our thing. like I said before, it's just you don't realize how much you actually depend on each other and the freedom of what you're doing until you can't do it anymore. I mean, so that's the big thing is, it touched me when someone, one of our friends, had commented on your essay, just how, you know, those are big things when you're dealing with a caregiver relationship, when you have the person who's, you know, I say, because we both do caregiving for each other, but I mean, as far as like a linchpin of something, that's a person that's responsible for the majority of the transfers, just when that isn't there, just how much that impacts you. And I think I'm very happy with how well we've managed that, but it's like, it's like you're counting down the days to when things are functional again.
And it's interesting, you had mentioned someone commenting on my essay that's on our website. Well, we have a friend, a dear friend to both of us, who said, just because Dan's going to be done with surgery, don't think it's going to go back to normal. And that's where that whole thought really entered our mind. And she said, potentially start lifting some weights or getting back to it. And fortunately, you are going to see your doctor in a couple of days. You can be asking him, is that possible? Can I lift something just to slowly get back into fighting shape of sorts? And all those things that we don't think about. And caregiver Jen, you know, she will we still need more help from her than we have right now, you know, when things go back to air quote normal.
Yeah. Even if we could get an extra week with the other caregivers just to help me ease into it, because I think that was the big thing, you know, as far as like stuff we've had to sacrifice or give up because of the surgeries, just knowing that, you know, we had been invited to go to the public policy conference in D.C. again this year, and we had already accepted that. But then when you look at the calendar to see that that event was only like 2 or 3 weeks after my 6 weeks was up, and I'm just like, there's just, because I would have to do transfers in like new and different places. We don't have the luxury of the tools and setup that we have here at home. And so, yeah, it's just, how do we manage that?
And so we have made, if you want to say, sacrifices, which sounds like kind of silly because it's not humongous sacrifices, but we've made, but we have not, there are things we haven't done because we want to put the focus on you recovering and getting stronger.
Well, what's that going to do for the Super Bowl? I mean, just in terms of everything, I mean, just in that we have to be at bed by 10:30, you know, and so,
we'll, I mean, fortunately,
decked out because you just got your Seahawks sweatshirt today.
Right.
And all, they got my Patriots sweatshirt.
There you go.
So, I mean, and you know, again, it's like there, that's not like sacrifices of like giving up food or, I mean, something like necessary for survival. Mm-hmm. But I mean, these are just things that, you know, when you're living with MS and caregiving and everything, you really embrace all of the extra stuff that you can do or that's there for you to do. I mean, I don't want to say for God's sakes church, but I mean, really for God's sakes church, because there's lots of things, because I, you know, as president of council, we have the executive committee meeting this week. Am I ready to go to another meeting to start doing that again?
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to, like, I want to bring up the fact, will I be able to stand? Mm. You know, after 6 weeks of not really standing, I'm trying to use my standing frame and I'm getting on the sit to stand every time I transfer. But, you know, my muscles are not stretched out as much. And it's all of those things when you don't do it every day that you realize, heck, I'm going to lose that ability. So this, I'm saying it out loud. It's like, put a pin in your head, Jennifer, like stretch. And try and do this more often. Nothing is more important than when I when you are fully able to transfer me, then I'm able to stand. So I have to do that.
Well, I think it's just thinking about those things. They just go back to when you had everything with your, is it arthritic scare? But when you were laid up back last May in rehab and the hospital and stuff, and you weren't able to stand for that week mm-hmm. and a half,
yeah.
And how tight your legs were then. I mean, now we're talking like 6 weeks of this. So, I mean, just how do we manage and just the stuff that we have to think about?
And on a side note, stealing the focus from you, Dan Digman.
Steal away.
I don't think it's arthritis. I am not a doctor, but I am a person who is living with multiple sclerosis for more than half of my life. Thank you very much.
I'd say you're an expert.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I think that I have some wicked spasticity that was explained away as arthritis. And it's just hella tight muscles mm-hmm. and that are like rock hard. And I'm sure maybe some people in the community listening to this can be nodding their heads like, oh yeah, we understand you. And so I am not taking medicine for arthritis. I'm just trying to manage it more with those, those symptom management drugs
right.
for spasticity. But if you have any tips, stealing your thunder, I would love to hear them from anybody out there listening. If you have anything or a suggestion, because it's that I will need to be able to stand to support you in 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and for the next, however long of our marriage. that's fundamental to our caregiving marriage relationship.
Absolutely. So, I mean, if you have tips, reach out to us on our website is acoupletakesonms.com. But send us an email. The email is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. Just like, what tips do you have for dealing with tightness and
spasticity
and pseudo-arthritic conditions?
And
I do. I'm eager to see what I can do for exercises to try and keep myself limber and ready to go for when that happens. Because I do know when I had my original consultation with the surgeon and I talked about the transfers and he had indicated too that, I'm not going to be ready to go, which is seems so odd to me because it always has just come so natural. But I also, ever since, we got married, I wasn't like recovering from a surgery. I think that's the one thing that I don't really think about is like whether a hernia surgery is a major surgery. And I've heard several people, even those who have had said surgery, saying how it is. I mean, it is a major kind of thing. I guess just because it happened to me, I'm like, oh, that's nothing,
And then another aspect to consider is this is the first time you've had surgery since your MS diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how does that aggravate or how is your surgery, your healing, how is that affected by your multiple sclerosis? I have no idea. And I would think it should be okay, But
I do think just like any time I get sick and just how having a fever or illness irritates, aggravates, accelerates, intensifies any kind of MS symptom I have, what has this surgery done? Because obviously, yeah, I'm walking more gingerly than I normally do, but then I'm just like, I don't think I'm walking. I wasn't walking great to begin with because of the MS, but just even more so now. It's just like, I'm such a wall walker,
yeah.
And especially at night, because we're going to bed so early. But that's the other thing too. It's just like we're getting way, way, way more sleep than we ever have. But then why are we so tired during the day? And I think it's just our bodies are just catching up in the fact that it's barely getting over 0 degrees in Michigan mm-hmm. for the last 3 weeks. It's just, these are realities. I mean, so 11 days into this, I guess asking you as the wife of somebody who had hernia surgery and is recovering, what were you most scared of, and what were you most surprised about in terms of the difficulties or how easy things have been? That was a loaded two-part question.
That was.
What scared you the most?
I think the unknown. The unknown always scares me. I think that's what's the rub about multiple sclerosis is we don't know what's going to happen. And that, here's an MS word for you, that is exacerbated by the unknown of hernia surgery. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know how much pain you'd be in. I didn't know if you would be throwing up again. So that made me nervous. And then what surprised me the most is that you weren't doing any of that. And that 3-4 days after your surgery, you're like, I'm going to go to work. And granted, it's not like you work in manual labor, but you have to sit in a chair in your office and work on a computer all day. And you were able to do that. So I think, as always, you wow me, but I was just so impressed by how quickly you were able to do that. And, you know, what about yourself? What surprised you, or how do you feel?
I feel good. And honestly, going into everything, I'm analyzing this before I speak, and I'll just speak and then analyze. But it's just like, I think what's interesting is just how going into this surgery, you and I both were not concerned about ourselves. I did not think. I was not worried about me and how I would handle it. I wasn't worried about the pain, the throwing up or anything. I was worried about how is Jennifer going to manage without me. And that's not me being, you know, Superman or whatever, but it's just that, you know, I do the transfers. That's our thing. So I'm just like, how are the caregivers? Are we going to have the caregivers to help you to do the things you need to do when I'm not able to do it?
All right. And can I say something again, stealing the focus?
You're so selfish.
I know. And this is like incredibly vulnerable. And this is maybe TMI. So if it's like, if you're like, Jennifer, stop, don't say it.
Jennifer, stop, don't say it.
I mean, it's just the reality. Yeah. Typically when we go to bed, I wake you up and I have to use the bathroom. Mm-hmm. You can't help transfer me, and my caregiver, Jen, does not live and does not sleep in the same house with us. So we have, thank you to one of the members of our support group, we have a PureWick, which is a urine collection system. I can't believe I'm talking about this, but I mean, you guys are my people.
Well, and I think this is a good conversation to have, and we will have we'll have information in the show notes about this, because this is something, I mean, that you had this gift from a member of our group, and we just never used it. But then when you were in the hospital for your pseudoarthritic condition, that's what the hospital used. So then you're not sitting in, you know, the urine that it's there. So it's, you know, and I don't want to steal your thunder. So.
No, but I get hooked up to my PureWick at night, and that makes it possible so that you don't have to transfer me, or Jen doesn't have to come transfer me. And I'm able to sleep for all those hours, and I couldn't do it without it. Really appreciative. And I think it's something, if you are listening to this and you are having incontinence at night, because let's be honest, MS, this is a good tool, and it's something to save your dignity, and it is easy to use. Mm-hmm. And they make male versions and female versions.
Great.
And I would highly recommend it. And I appreciate, I mean, my God, we're 11 days in and I'm not like, you know, I'm not in tears like, oh my God, there's pee everywhere. It's like, well, I have the dignity, and it's, you know, again, thankful to Jen because she's taking care of this. But
and the other thing too, it's very much like the, you know, you have the extra mattress and, you know, there to take care of any, you know, to help fight off any pressure sores. So then you don't have anything cause, you know, my surgery didn't cause that. But then with the PureWick, that helps then to fight off any kind of UTI and stuff. Right. So I mean, those are just, and I think that's the one thing to where it's like, so I appreciate being honest about it and saying it out there, because it's just like, if not for, you know, our support group and talking about these kinds of things and you getting the PureWick that way, people, you know, you wouldn't know about it. So I think just increasing the awareness about those kinds of tools and resources that are available. I mean, yeah, it's been a godsend, and I was afraid it would make a lot of noise, but it's really just like white noise more than anything.
It is. And this refrigerator beeping, that is not white noise. That is the noise that wakes us up at 6 a.m. or 4 a.m. and forces us to close our door. So then our bedroom turns into a meat locker because it's really, really cold here in Michigan. But I think I'm glad to hear you say that it's white noise.
And yeah, it's just, and it's life, you know, and those are the things that you just do, you know, in a relationship, in a caregiver relationship, and it's nothing there. And I mean, it's just providing the safety and cleanliness, you know, just that's, so, yeah. You know, I think it's just being grateful that we have something like that to help with it.
And the last thing that I will say, I promise, but I won't because I'm a talker.
You talking.
We have to go to bed at, you know, 10:30.
10:30.
And we're not tired. As you mentioned, we are still 12-year-olds at the core. So we have been laying in bed, binge-watching Shrinking and or binge-watching whatever shows we watch. And I just want to mention how sad I am that Catherine O'Hara passed away recently, and just want to give big thanks to Catherine O'Hara and Schitt's Creek because they got us through the pandemic. And I think that we've rewatched episodes and they're getting us through a little bit of your post hernia surgery.
Oh, absolutely.
So I just wanted to mention that because I feel like, you know, coping, ways to cope is, you're reading more, we're watching more TV, we're laying in bed playing games and like games on my phone. Just Scrabble has been a godsend, and Mitch Album has been a godsend for you. And it's just like, those are the things when you don't realize, you know, that you're kind of needed to be in bed for that long.
Well, and I think that's something where, and I wish I would have saved the quote from Adam Grant, but Adam Grant's talking about, he's like a psychologist, but just saying about how when people rewatch things that they've seen a million times, it's like how beneficial that is, because it helps ground you and give you that. So then it's just like, you know, that we're rewatching Shrinking, that, you know, we've been rewatching Schitt's Creek. I mean, we're doing that anyway, but then, you know, when Catherine O'Hara passed away, you know, rest in peace. But I mean, just like, then you're watching not the full seasons of Schitt's Creek, but you're watching your favorite ones from that whole series. And so I think that's just a way to help us get through things. And so, I mean, that's really helped us get through the surgery. And again, this isn't like the worst thing in the world that happened to us. It's just, can we say like an inconvenience?
Yeah, I think it's been a little more than an inconvenience, but I look forward to, you know, another 5 years down the road looking back and saying, yeah, we managed that. And you came out stronger for it.
And now we have resources. We know there are other people who can help you with transfers and stuff. So we're grateful. So I think when all is said and done, it's been challenging, but also grateful for so many things. So we'll make it through. And I think so here at day 11, I'm eager to see the surgeon in a couple of days just to see where we're at with that and how we can move forward with that, because that's really what we do as a couple takes on MS, right?
That's right.
So thank you all again for taking the time just to listen to us share, and just it's cathartic to talk about. Is that fair to say? I think so.
Yeah, I think it's very, and it's just nice to have this, and we'll look back on this and we'll listen again and just know that we were able to do this. And you know, we weren't able to go to DC and advocate in person, but we can advocate online. Mm-hmm. And we're strong in DC and we're strong in Michigan, and this is proof positive 11 days in, and we're being, yeah, I'm just so thankful, Dan, that you're doing as well as you are.
Me too. I'm grateful, but thank you for your help with this. And thank you all for taking the time to listen to this. And if you have any comments or anything about how you've dealt with surgery or ways that you've been able to move forward in these kinds of situations, again, just let us know through our website, is acoupletakesonms.com, or email acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you and just hear what's gotten you through surgery. So until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman, who's rolling.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. And together, we're moving forward. Take care.